Because we Americans are very good at denial. But when we do, think about the end as described in the gospel today. It is very easy for us to become angry and to echo, at least in our own way, the words of that great Welsh poet, Dylan Thomas, who wrote, as his own father was approaching death, "Do not go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the failing of the light. Do not go gently into that good night." And our gospel today is a somber one, a serious one. It continues from last Sunday, and of course it signals the end of the summertime. We hear Jesus preparing his followers that he must go up to Jerusalem to suffer, to die, and that he intimates his resurrection. And he invites them, and he invites us today, to go with him. And yet we rebel. We say, after all, the leaves are still on the trees, the flowers are still blowing, and the summer clothing is still hanging in your closet. Why on this Sunday should we be reminded in Scripture of death? Why of all times now to be reminded of our obligation to take up our cross and to follow the Savior to Jerusalem? We wonder, why could we not wait for this subject until November? And then we are just like Jeremiah in the first reading. Jeremiah was one of the great complainers of all history. And even with him, the words that we heard today from his pen are terribly strong. He cries out as a prophet to the Lord and says, "Lord, you deceived me. I let myself be deceived. You, O Lord, were too strong for me, and you triumphed." Jeremiah is saying that God has not played fair with him. Jeremiah goes on his complaint. "The word of the Lord has brought me derision and reproach all the day." But Jeremiah intends to have his revenge. He says, in his own way, that he will not be played for a sucker. He says to the Lord, "From now on, Lord, I will not even mention your name. I will speak in your name no more." He means, okay, Lord, so there. You have deceived Jeremiah, your prophet, and your prophet now is going to get even with you. I no longer shall prophesy in your name. And that sentiment of Jeremiah could be understandable for any one of us today. Each of us, way deep down at times in our lives, feel that we have been deceived. After all, we say we have never been asked whether we wanted to be thrust into existence here upon earth. We discover ourselves today in a world that we did not make. We are caught up in responsibilities that we never looked for. We are saddled with a kind of culture that disturbs us. We did not create it. We were not consulted about it. And yet here we are, immersed in it. And we are summoned by a living God who seems reluctant to let us know exactly what it is that is still in store for us. The Lord is able to give us such a many splendid thing as a summertime, and then the Lord takes the summertime away, symbolically warning us that as autumn approaches, that life too, given to us as a gift, will be taken away. And we say, as Jeremiah would, the biggest trick of all, Lord, is the trick of life itself in which we are caught. And then we hear in the gospel, bumptious Peter, who says to Jesus, this should never happen to you. Someone, Jesus, as good as you, why should you die? Why should you go to Jerusalem to suffer? And what Peter, of course, means is that he's protesting against his own death, in protesting the death of Jesus. And if evil should triumph not only over Jeremiah, and then Jesus, and Peter, then what about our own lives? If Jesus must go up to Jerusalem, so then too must we. And the anger of Peter is very appropriate. As the gospel says, we have not yet learned to judge things as God judges, but we go on judging from the viewpoint of man. Now, go back to the first reading of Jeremiah, and let's see how his complaining ends up. Jeremiah rants and raves and says, Lord, absolutely, positively, irrevocably, and unequivocally, I will not mention you again. I will speak your name no more. And then what happens? The name of God becomes like a burning fire in his heart, and the person of God is imprisoned in his bones. The name of the Lord becomes like a burning fire in his heart, despite his denial. And Jeremiah cannot hold in this mystery. He does not want to speak the word of the Lord God. He wants nothing to do with him. And yet, he discovers now that he has no choice at all. He finds that he is hopelessly in love with the living God, and that he is unable not to speak about him. And so Jesus says today to each of us that whoever among us today is willing to lose his life, little by little, that person will discover it. To die a little bit each day in the Passover mystery, in that way, we grow to the final moment, which is our resurrection. Most of you, I'm sure, have read some of the writings of Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross in a research with many people preparing for death, and some of them who were resuscitated from a clinical death. And how, in every case, and other doctors after this, indicate that all of these people found the experience to be very pleasant. And as a matter of fact, the more articulate ones resented being dragged back into life again because their time had not yet come. And what is the most intriguing is that none of them was ever afraid to die again, having experienced momentarily what the mystery is all about. And from my own personal experience, I can assure you that it is truly a moment of peace and of grace. During the 12 years that I taught high school at Central, I also lived as chaplain at Mount St. Joseph's nursing home. And during that 12-year period in the 1950s and early 60s, I helped over 500 people die. It was always a healing experience for me to witness the beauty of the event, so that over the years it became a personal revelation of what this mystery is like. It, of course, is a moment when that person dying, approaching resurrection, becomes totally whole, completely the full person to the potential that person had during the lifetime, since we only use between 7 and 8% of our potential, we become total human beings at the moment of our death. We become the very kind of creatures God intended us to become eventually. The clinical death experience, I've had several friends who experienced that. In each case, it's slightly different, and they're too long to describe in detail. But in summary, it's basically a very intense, ecstatic experience of being called outside of oneself, and you become visually aware of being high up above the world, perhaps seeing a peaceful river drifting off to the horizon, and above all, having the experience of an intense peace and knowledge, and knowing that everything is going to be all right. And then, of course, and very often, figures of light approach and indicate that your time has not yet come, that there's still work to be done here upon earth. All of these thousands of people who have told us this really are telling us what Scripture says today, that perhaps going up to Jerusalem is not quite as terrifying as we may have suspected. And perhaps also, and I hope this is true, that is with Jeremiah, that the Spirit of the Lord God burns in your hearts. But the Lord God's Spirit is caught up in your bones, not to deceive you, but rather to reveal to all of us what these mysterious elements of our lives are all about. It's true. With Dylan Thomas, the poet, we should not go silently into that good night. And on the other hand, we should not rage against it either, but perhaps look upon it as a final adventure. None of us particularly looks forward to the end of summer. None of us looks forward to the end of our lives. And yet if we accept the message of the gospel and the readings this afternoon, then we can understand the mystery in which we are caught up, and to realize that it won't be that difficult after all, when each of us is called to go up to Jerusalem on our own personal pilgrim road to meet the Easter Lord of the resurrection, because he's waiting for us when we go home again.